Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road. Now Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Elijah, how are you?
I am fantastic.
It's good to have you here with us.
Hey, it's nice to be here. I know Joe's excited.
Yeah, he
Joe's
is.
Really excited. The biggest winner here of the transition here is Joe.
We're switching from country music to hip-hop and the intros. Right. What, you're a Steely Dan fan, too?
Huge Steely Dan fan.
Oh, dude, I just listed my top 10 Steely Dan songs of all time.
Joe Rex Road, now in a much better mood, now that Ryan Porth has vacated the premises. Talking Titans here on the program. And with that in mind, let's bring in our good friend, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, fellas.
Hope you're doing well. And TD, I want to start with the decision made by the Titans this week not to place a tag on Jonnu Smith. What was your reaction to that, and what do you think that means for the future of Jonnu Smith going forward here?
Well, I was somewhat surprised. I thought they would place the transition tag on him and had that number at $8 million and then work a deal out from there. But, hey, I mean, now they're in a situation where they could potentially lose him, or they could sign him over the next few days and ensure that he's with the team and doesn't hit the market. You saw what happened with the Bills and Matt Milano yesterday. So it's not out of the picture for Jonnu Smith to still be kept from hitting the market.
So as of right now, TD, what would be your feel on those three guys? We've been talking about those three guys for weeks. If you had to guess right now, any or none of them on this team next year, what would your inclination be right now?
I think, it's tough. I think somehow they find a way to get Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith back together.
Wow.
I think they're going to get both of those guys back. But pretty much, you know, the other big ticket guys, I think are gone. You know, Jayon Brown, Desmond King, Clowney more than likely. But there's a chance of that, those are that situation is a different one. But I think it's going to end up being Davis and Smith back. I think they find a way to make it happen.
TD, obviously not a huge surprise this week with Malcolm Butler being cut and also Kenny Vaccaro as well. And still could be some more restructuring coming down the pipe for the Titans as well. Do you think that there could be any more cuts coming for the Titans as they move forward here with free agency officially getting underway next week?
I don't think it's likely there's any more cuts. I think any other space is going to be done through restructures. But, I mean, they are going to be hamstrung, right, as far as finding ways to sign some free agents. You know, it's going to be tough, but this is one of those years where the draft becomes even more important because there's an assortment of teams that are cash-strapped.
So then the realistic approach, because, again, we've mostly been talking about the Judons and, you know, even the Lawsons and guys like that. What do you think they can get done there? Is there anyone so far who has been cut, maybe not even, you know, like Janoris Jenkins, somebody like that, who raises your eyebrows that maybe the Titans should be looking to add at a lower rate?
I actually think Quentin Jefferson, who was released by the Bills, is an interesting name. As far as the corners, Justin Coleman immediately comes to mind. I think bringing a Tennessee product to Nashville would be a good thing, and it would help shore up that nickel spot. But it's going to be tough to do these things until they figure out what exactly is happening with Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis, because those guys together are going to take up a good chunk, you know, of that remaining money.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And TD, we've talked a lot this week about the receiver position in the draft and how deep it is. I mean, we talked about just the transition going from, you know, college football to the NFL and receivers nowadays being probably more ready to make that transition than ever before. What do you think of the future of that position and how, I guess, easy it could be to find some guys in the draft that could come in and contribute immediately? And are there any names in this draft that stand out to you that could be available for the Titans should they decide to go that route?
Yeah, it's the position continues to evolve, and guys are coming into the league a lot better as far as being able to read coverages on the fly and adjust their routes and do those type of things, because there's becoming a more of a mesh between the college offenses and NFL offenses. And then you got guys that, you know, going to these 7-on-7 camps when they're 10 years old, you know, running routes and in these passing camps with the quarterbacks and stuff. So they're becoming more advanced and they're smarter players. And I mean, you know what, honestly, Madden too, you know, yeah. I've seen people learn coverages and things through Madden. So it's
that's how I did
cool
it.
Cool from that perspective. Yeah, it's awesome. You know, so I think they are a bit more advanced, but I don't care how many Madden games you play. You're never going to be able to duplicate press coverage, right? And when you have that little feisty corner right there in your face and you got to figure out how to get off the line without chatter at the line of scrimmage, that way your quarterback knows that you're going to get into your route and get open quickly. That, I think, is still the area where a lot of these guys still have to adjust. You don't see many receivers just come right into the league and instantly able to destroy press coverage, you know, because you just don't see that a lot in college, right? So I think that's something to watch. But as far as guys that will be available, you know, it depends on where you're talking. First round, you know, at 22, you know, you got Terrence Marshall Jr., you got Rashad Bateman. You know, these are all really good players. Tylan Wallace a little bit later. I love his game. He plays above the rim. He's listed at, you know, 5'11", 6 feet, but the guy, watching him all season, you know, and even last year, talking about 2019, that, you know, I thought that he was 6'3", 6'4", because that's how he plays, you know. So I like him a lot. He's an X receiver. I think he would come in and do some of the things that they need as far as giving them a vertical threat. But, I mean, there's an assortment of guys in this draft, man. You got Dwayne Eskridge. You know, it's really like any other year, you know, over the last 2 years. It's like Baskin Robbins, man. Like, you got 31 flavors. You pick which one you want, and there's a guy there for you to do that, right? You want to do it all guy, you know, Amari Rodgers. I mean, he can play on the outside. He's primarily a slot guy, but you can put him in the backfield and catch passes out of there. There's so many. If you want a sleeper, Kay Johnson out of South Dakota State is a guy I had on Talking with TD, and he can play the slot. He can play outside. He gives you return. Think Doug Baldwin. He's that type of player, you know, not overly quick or big or shifty, but just knows how to get open, and he plays mad, and I like that. And he's someone that's used to being a force, you know, as a blocker as well.
I'm Team Rondale Moore until proven otherwise. I just can't wait to see him in the league. I don't know if it's going to work out today, but I think he could be in the right spot. I think he could be fascinating. Let me ask you about a guy who's on the free agent market and reminds me a little bit of that, just because, you know, I mean, he played a lot of running back in college and he's a different kind of player. What about like Curtis Samuel? Like, what's his future in this league?
Yeah. Yeah. He's really exciting. I think he's a guy that, you know, people are saying that he's only a slot or a gadget guy. He's beyond that, because you could put him on the outside and he'll win there. In fact, that's what the Panthers did a lot on third downs with him. You know, he was a clutch guy for them. I think he's a really good player, and he's someone that, as an offensive coordinator, you just have, like, you have your Samuel package, right? And it's a package of 10 to 15 plays with him all over the formation, and you want to get him the football. And he's someone, I love the phrase that Mike Vrabel told me when I first got here, when I asked him about, you know, guys getting yards after the catch, and he called it free yards, you know, and that's something that a guy like Sammy is going to give you. You could throw the ball to him behind the line of scrimmage and he'll pick up, you know, 10, 20, sometimes 50 yards. And that's really an advantage for the quarterback. So he's a playmaker. I'm surprised Carolina isn't bringing him back, to be honest with you, because I think he complements, you know, Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore really well. But hey, I mean, he's out there, and I think that's someone that would definitely help.
TD, some breaking news in the NFL this morning. The Patriots bringing back Cam Newton on a one-year deal to be the quarterback again next season. What's your reaction to that? Are you surprised that New England went the route of bringing Cam Newton back into the fold?
Yeah, I am surprised, actually. I thought that they would try to facilitate a deal for J. Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, hoping that the Texans send Watson there and they would, you know, benefit in two ways, right? You get a really good quarterback out of the conference and you get a pretty decent one there. But, hey, it seems like there's a fit. Bill Belichick and Cam Newton seem to, you know, have that chemistry last year. I thought Cam was honestly done, but hey, I'm happy that he's back in the league. I really like Cam Newton. I think he is kind of the subject of a lot of over-criticism, you know, but I'm glad that he's back, and I want to see what happens there.
Well, I mean, I agree, and that goes back to his MVP season when he was the MVP, and he took too much. He just looks to me, TD, like, and it kind of reminds me of Mariota a little bit, like the injuries have mounted to a point where, you know, I just feel like he's diminishing as a player, but, you know, we'll see. But what about Mariota, by the way? What do you think? I mean, I would love to see. I feel like Chicago's got to do something different, right? They've got to. I mean, I know they'd love to get Russ, but that's probably not realistic. But, like, do you think that's possible? It's where he should have picked a year ago.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think he would be good in Chicago. They have a big weapon there in Allen Robinson and Darnell Moody, who trained right here in Nashville. I think he's a guy that you know, would do well with Mariota. I honestly think I could see Mariota in Philly, though, as a backup.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's, you know, how can I say this? He's starter material, but I don't know how that would fit for him going into Chicago and becoming the starter. I think he has to kind of go that route where he you know, almost the Tannehill route, you know what I mean, where he goes somewhere business time and then the opportunity opens and boom, there he is. It almost seems like that's what has to happen with him.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. TD, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. You as well. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit more of what TD had to say there and continue the conversation on the Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you will win a prize pack. The next chance to participate is Monday morning at 8:45, so we'll have that opportunity coming up for you then. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning.
Dirty Work, Steely Dan, number 5 on my list of top 10 Steely Dan songs. Thank
Your mood has already improved.
That's about 4 spots too low.
That's your number 1,
That's
huh?
number 1.
It's a great jam.
That's my alarm in the morning.
One of my favorite TV scenes. Is it really?
It is,
One of my favorite TV scenes in TV history is Tony Soprano singing song.
Singing that song, yeah.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Such a great scene.
The impression that you two threw out there was just even better. So thank you for that.
R.I.P. James Gandolfini.
Anytime we can get Joe Rexroad singing here on the program, it's a good time for me.
It's usually audio gold.
Yes, it is.
So Joe, my milky voice.
We had Teron Davenport on in the last segment, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. What do you think of what he threw out there, that maybe the Titans find a way to get it done with both Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith and bring them back in fold? Now, on Call Your Shot Friday, you've got the Titans finding a way to get it done with Corey Davis. Said the market won't be what maybe he hopes it will be or what he thinks it will be, and he ends up back here in Nashville. What do you think maybe of the opportunity of bringing them both back on the offensive side of the ball, which I think to a lot of Titans fans right now, just strictly looking at the numbers, looks unlikely?
I've kind of dismissed that as a possibility. If TD says he thinks it can happen, I am now.
I trust TD.
Yeah. So, I think it's pretty optimistic. I think it's pretty optimistic to be able to keep both of them. And obviously, you know, you've got some time here. I mean, they don't technically go to the market for 5 days. But I do think Davis, the more I think about it, the receiver situation out there, the way Davis is perceived, I think that's the best chance for sure. Janu's tough. It's hard in this league or in this year, in this league, this cap, and Janu's production. I mean, I think people are crazy if they don't think that he can be one of those top guys. You know, probably second tier tight end, which is very good.
Yeah,
but the production is not there, so maybe the Titans will luck out.
Elijah, what do you think? When you look at the free agents the Titans have, obviously the big three that we've spent so much talking about with Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis and Jayon Brown, a lot of people just dismissed Jayon Brown and assumed that he's not going to be here. What do you think the Titans do here in free agency as we get fired up here next week? Out of those three, how many do you think will be back? Do you think any will be back?
I think there is a really high possibility that we don't get any of them back. I think that's almost the most likely scenario, just because of the money that Corey Davis is going to demand, because of the production he had this year, even though I feel like the feeling around the Titans is that they're not going to pay that much for number two receiver, and that's fine, especially in a smaller cap year. No one wants to overpay for anything right now, especially someone that's not going to be your number one receiver, when you could probably draft a decent, I guess, companion to A.J. Brown or get one in this free agent class. That's decent. A lot of good number two receivers out there. Jonnu Smith would be the one I feel like they're most inclined to try to get back, because he's going to be the hardest to replace, because yep. He is such an athletic specimen. And there's just not a lot of athletic tight ends like that growing on trees. I mean, I love Jayon Brown. Jayon Brown's my favorite of the three because I love his versatility. I think you have to have linebackers that can cover in today's NFL. I think he does that really well. And obviously, when you look at the numbers of with Jayon Brown and without Jayon Brown, the Titans' defense was significantly better when Jayon Brown was on the field. I just think that they're probably going to lean, if they're getting any of them back, it's going to be Jonnu Smith, just because of the rarity of the athlete he is. And if you're going to take a risk, I feel like that linebacker position is probably the easiest one to let go.
I agree with all that. I agree with every word. Not just because you play music I like. No, Jayon Brown you could make the case. You know, you could make the case. Hey,
what did Tannenbaum say earlier this week? Height deficiency?
Yeah. Despite his height deficiency. His deficient height.
Hard over height.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can make the case. Well, draft a tight end and Firkser and Pruitt, and well, you can sign and find draft or sign another number two for cheaper. But how do you let one of your best playmakers on a defense that has no playmakers go? Make that case. I don't make it often because I've just basically, resigned the Titans to letting him go, but. I mean, if it turns out that he's the one they sign, like, I will be surprised, but I could make the strong case for it.
Well, I just wonder what his market's going to look like out there. I mean, that's the tough part to try to figure out with anyone this year on the free agent market. I mean, the Buffalo yesterday, I mean, Matt Milano coming back to the Bills signed a 4-year extension worth $44 million, with $24 million of that being guaranteed. I mean, Matt Milano is a really good player. He's 26 years old. We talked about that the week that the Titans played Buffalo. He was not available for Buffalo in that game.
Their D stunk.
Their D was not very good without him in there. So I can't imagine Jayon Brown making more money than him. So what would the market be like for Jayon Brown? And would there be a team out there willing to give him a multi-year deal? Like, I think you're going to see a lot of one-year deals this year in the NFL. That's, to me, really fascinating, because like, I'm trying to think of what the market could look like for Jayon Brown, and honestly, I don't know, just based on the other dominoes that have fallen into place this offseason.
I have no clue. Again, if you go by Pro Football Focus, everybody's getting $15, $16 million a year. Like, but I don't know. And another thing with Jayon Brown on the minus side is it's two straight years now that he's had injuries serious, enough to take him out at the end of the year. So you have to factor that into the entire picture of what people are looking at with him. So I don't know. It's another case where maybe it ends up being more affordable than you would have guessed, or more affordable than it would be in a normal year. And it's like, how do you turn that down? It's like with safety, and I don't know what David Long is going to be, if he's an every down starter for a full season, but you do have the three who has shown some promise who can step in.
I just feel like there's going to be somebody out of the three players that we've talked about that's not going to get the deal they're looking for on the open market, just based on the odds of what this season is going to look like. Maybe it is Corey Davis. Maybe it's Jonnu Smith. And maybe it is Jonnu Smith because of what you said, and you look at the production in terms of purely by the numbers, and it's not there. But I just feel like of these three guys, at least one of them may not get the deal that they feel like they're worth and that they're looking for. And if that's the case, are you better off in the long run coming back to a place that you're familiar with on a one-year deal and just letting it ride again next year in free agency? I mean, I think that is possible with one of these three guys.
Yeah, in a way, it's kind of opposite situations. Corey Davis had this basically 1,000-yard season, you know. So, but some people would say, yeah, but don't be fooled by the production. Right. I still think he's a very good player, very good too. And then on the other side, Jonnu Smith, don't be fooled the other way by the lack of production. I mean, to me, if you want to compare them to their positions, just like Elijah said, there are very few guys like Jonnu Smith walking around this league playing that position. There are plenty of number two receivers, to be
honest. Even though you tried to attack Anthony Firkser's size the other day, he's still bigger than we thought.
Someone's lying. Like, someone lied. Like, they are listed as the same. Like, I would expect, like, Anthony Firkser to get on Jonnu Smith's, like, shoulders at a concert, you know? Like, help me see.
I've never looked at Anthony
Help me
Firkser.
See Eric Church.
Like, I've never looked at Anthony Firkser and thought, you know what? That guy's small. I've never looked at him that way.
No, but he's way smaller than Jonnu Smith.
Apparently not. They're listed as, like, the exact same size.
See, this is the problem with, you know, we haven't been in a locker room in since the fall of 2019.
That could be.
Maybe Firkser has gotten huge and, you know, from far away, you just can't tell. I don't know.
Or maybe he's grown. Or maybe we should all just hire the Titans staff to list our heights.
Yeah. Well, Scottie Pippen, I just realized this writing this column about Scottie Pippen Jr. yesterday. He's listed at 6'3 on the Vanderbilt website.
That's what I guessed. I would have guessed he was.
Well,
about 6'3.
Last year he was listed at 6'1, and I was like, no, he's 5'11. Now he's listed at 6'3. I'm like, no, he's 6'1.
I mean, his dad had a pretty impressive growth spurt at around his age as well. So, I mean, if genetics and history have taught us anything, that Scottie Pippen Jr. at the end of next year will be like 6'8.
Maybe Joe's
just
really bad.
Well, he's the number one pick if that's the case.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. Maybe Joe's just really bad at guessing height. Could be it.
Could also be a thing.
I'm also shrinking. I was 6'3 when I graduated high school, and I'm 6'2 now. It's really depressing.
Going the other way. When we come back, we will transition into the Nashville Predators. Terry Criss, Predators TV analyst, will join us next. We'll look back at the game last night against Carolina and look ahead to the weekend coming up against Tampa Bay. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Terry Criss, Predators TV analyst. Crispy, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Well, you had to ask us about how we do it, right?
Yeah.
I'm on my third cup of coffee. And it tastes just as bad as the first one did this morning. For the results again last night, and looking at the game thinking, man, oh, man, we got some shock pulling up to do here.
They sure do. And Crispy, I thought on Tuesday night, given the roster that the Predators have right now and all the injuries that they're dealing with, the young players that have come up, they played just about as well as you probably could have hoped for if you're a Predators fan, especially at 5-on-5. And then last night, I thought that caught up to them a little bit. And Carolina, winners of 7 consecutive games, they're a tough team that you make any mistakes against them, they're going to make you pay for it. What did you think of the game last night for the Predators against the Hurricanes?
And exactly, I'm as same as you. I love that last game when we lost in overtime. And they played their hearts out. I really had my hopes were high, and I said, that's the way we have to play. And I've said this so often now. I said, you know what? We may not have as much talent as the other teams. We may not have the power play or the penalty kill, but we can match them in work ethic. We can match them in effort. And that's not the night, but the night before when we lost, we did. The kids came up and played. The team played hard. They left everything out on the ice. And I thought, great, we're turning a corner. we're looking good. And then, of course, we ran into a buzzsaw last night. And again, the buzzsaw just is sort of enhanced by the fact that untimely turnovers by our club, the neutral zone and defensive zone, this Team Carolina, they just jumped all over it. I'm not even going to bring up the power plays because that's been a consistent for Carolina, that they one of the best in the league in all capacities. So, yeah, we ran into a buzzsaw last night. And I was thinking, you know, we're going to really come back at them after that game. And it just so I'm very interested in seeing how we handle the first game down in Tampa.
So, Crispy, we played earlier, and I the Ryan Johansson intermission interview with Kara Hammer, which I'm assuming you know the one I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, we all listened to it. I heard it.
So first of all, you know, my first thought was, man, yeah, it's a tough spot to be in if you're Kara. You know, at times when a team's going the way this team is, and you're doing your job, and people are very frustrated. I did make me think too of asking you, like, in your day, did you guys have these interviews? And can you recall any situations like that with you, perhaps?
Oh hell yeah! You ever watch John Tortorella?
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
I used to just watch the game to listen to his interviews at the end to see what he was up to and what was going on. But you know what? And I agree with you in the fact that it's really not fair. In a way, it is fair because the players are the ones who are getting paid to play, and they're the ones out on the ice, and they're the ones who should have to answer some of the questions. But on games like that, you know, either I would always say get a coach, like get the head coach or the assistant coach or somebody, because Coach Hines comes on every game. He never shirks it. He comes out there like most do. But in a situation that Joey was in with Kara, and we felt sorry for Kara too, because we know what she has to do it. And how many questions can you ask, and how many dresses can you put on that whatever you want to say to cover whatever it is. But I still think there's a way that, you know, you answer properly and you just say what you have to say and then leave the interview where it is. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Crispy, we've talked about the younger players that are up now and are in the lineup because of the injuries that are happening. As a coach, how do you handle that with John Hines, with a team that has so many young guys that obviously you're excited about their future and excited about the talent that they have, but not very much experience at the NHL level, and you have to know as a coach there's probably going to be some mistakes made along the way?
Yeah, there is. Perfect point in that. And you have to realize also as a coach, you have to transform that to the players. You tell them, you call them in, you talk to them. Listen, you guys are getting a chance here now, and mistakes are going to be made. I said, if you can go through a whole game and not make a mistake, then you're not working. You're not trying. And you're going to make them. And we're going to live with them. We're going to correct them, and we don't want you getting down on them. But all we want you to do is to listen. When you try to correct the mistakes, stay with them. Be as positive as you can, because if that's our future, and that's the kids like your Pitniks and your Davies and et cetera, Olivier and Golden and all those kids, they are still kids, and they're still finding their way in the league. And I also think that this is the time when you see what your dressing room is made of with your veterans that talk to the kids, not only the coaches, because the coaches, that's our job as a coach to do that, and stay positive and work with them. But this is the time that a Mike Fisher takes two of them out to lunch, and says, listen, kids, here's how, you know, I went through it, we've all gone through it, and you'll get over that bar, and you'll become what the other guys have become. But I guess the biggest aspect is, I don't know if it's such a word, positivity. Stay with it, because that's what we have. When you look at our lineup, you look at our suspension, and the guys that are injured and can't go, okay, that's life. All the teams go through it. You kids are playing. You got a nice team, and you have the 20 guys going out there tonight. Give what you got. When we come off after 60 or 65, and whatever it takes, if we've left it all out there, then we can correct some stuff. But let's leave the total effort out on that ice.
All right, Crispy, I understand you got a little fired up when the discussion of trading Philip Forsberg came up. So I'm going to try to fire you up again and bring up a topic. bring up a topic we were talking about on the show earlier, we were talking about Pecorine and the possibility that at some point maybe there might be a contender out there who really needs a goaltender for a run, and that maybe, you know, Pecorine could take a shot with another team if he wanted to, obviously. It's got to start there. But what would you think about that? And obviously, that number's hanging in the rafters. He's going to be known for what he did here. He's the greatest player, I think clearly, in franchise history. But what would you think about something like that to give him another shot at a run?
You know what? That's a great question. I got to be honest with you. I like that. And when you're starting to toss it out, I thought, you know what? I hadn't even really gone down that road. But it's a very distinct possibility. Pecorine has been a war horse for us. He's been a warrior for us. And he's done everything that's been asked of him. And it's not like he'd be the first person. You remember Ray Bourque, Ginla. I can go down a list of all of the players that had great careers with the one team and really done great. At the end of their career, and what they wanted was a Stanley Cup. They wanted that ring. And I firmly believe that every player that steps on the NHL ice, pulls a jersey on, that's the ultimate goal, is to get your name on that Stanley Cup. And then suddenly when you realize your career is winding down, you've only got a few more shots at the brass ring, and if your GM comes up to you and says, listen, I'm not saying for us now, but whatever, we we're not making it. You know we're not going to be in contention, but a team wants you, and they are one of the top teams that are going to go for the cup. Do you want to? And you know what they would do? And I know David Poy, Mr. Poy, so well, he's so classy. He would never, ever do it without asking Pecorine and sitting down with Pecorine. But you know what? What you just said, hey, in our business, and it is a business, that could be a distinct possibility.
I keep trying to get Crispy to yell at me, and he's not biting today. Well, maybe we can get him to yell
at you. If you'd have gone the other way, you'd have got yelled at.
That's right. Exactly. Crispy, last thing for you here. Obviously, the Predators taking on Tampa Bay tomorrow. Things have not gone well for the Predators against Tampa Bay this year. Obviously, the defending Stanley Cup champions. What sort of a challenge is this going to be? And what would your message to the Predators be tomorrow heading into a really tough environment against the Lightning?
Let's get it together, guys. We all know it was horse manure, how we played last night. And let's quit blaming bad luck, and let's quit blaming power play goals and that. We got penalty killers that are capable. We got young guys that have got lots of enthusiasm, and we have to play these games. And it's not changing, and the schedule is not changing. So let's quit feeling sorry for ourselves. Let's quit saying that, this and that, and injuries and suspensions. No, every team's going through it. I want this team tonight against, hey, Tampa Bay is the defending Stanley Cup champions. You want to see how damn good you are? Then put yourself up against them. Take them and see what you can do. And I can guarantee you what, nobody's feeling sorry for you. So let's get the job done.
Predators TV analyst Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, the absolute best in the business. Crispy, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, I appreciate you guys too. Stay with us. And no, you're not giving it to Pecorino, so quit it.
Thank you, Crispy. We'll talk to you next week. Terry Crisp joins us each and every week here on Robbie and Rex Road at 8:30 on Fridays. And as you can tell, Crispy, in his own words, always brings the passion. You got to love it.
Horse manure. That's a great term.
That was a great one. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what Joe brought up there with Crispy. If you're the Predators, should you consider trading Pecorine if that's something he wants to do to pursue a championship with a contender? We'll discuss it next and take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. .5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue the tradition with a hockey home gating party, and it's time to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile hockey home gate. Watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just text the word Smashville to 615-737-1025. That's Smashville to 615-737-1025. Now to enter, the winner will be contacted on Thursday, and you must be 21 or older
to enter the competition. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning. We'll be joined to begin the 9 o'clock hour by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll look ahead to the matchup today for Tennessee against Florida, taking place this afternoon in the SEC tournament, by the way, all this week. Stay tuned to 102.5 The Game for SEC tournament coverage presented by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. So we'll have that coming up for you to begin next hour. Right now, talking about the Nashville Predators and asking the question that Joe Rexroad threw out there to Terry Crisp in the last segment. If you're the Predators and things continue to go this way, do you approach Pecorine as the trade deadline gets closer and ask him if he wants to go play for a contender? I think, to your point, Joe, the Predators, they're not just going to all of a sudden do this and start shopping him around. You're going to ask him what he wants to do. If that's something that Pekka wants to do, then I think if you're the Predators, I would do everything in my power to see if I can facilitate that and make that happen based on who he is and what he's meant to this franchise. Like you said, if he goes off and tries to make another run at it here with another team, that's not going to affect his legacy here in Nashville. He is the greatest Nashville Predator of all time. He is the best player in the history of the franchise, and he will be the first player to have his jersey retired at Bridgestone Arena. 35 will be hanging up in the rafters one day, as it should be for the Nashville Predators. I don't know what Pekka's thoughts are about this. I have no clue whether or not he would have interest in going and playing elsewhere. I do know in the past he's talked about how important it is to play in one spot in his career, and the Predators obviously being a team that he loves and being a team that he has poured his heart and soul into. Now, to your point earlier in the show, when he started talking about things like that, the Predators were knee-deep in a run where they were playing really well. They were one of the best teams in the Western Conference, and he was playing very well as well. So probably never anticipated that the Predators' window would close while he was still playing. Now that it appears that it has, I'm interested to see what his mindset would be on that front. But I do think if I'm the Predators, I'm at least leaving that open, that if he wants to go somewhere, you try to make that happen.
Yeah,
I think he's earned that.
On their side, yeah, I would hope so. I mean, 100%. You owe that to him if he wants it. You do. You owe it to him. And it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't change legacy at all. I mean, he's the greatest player who has played for this franchise at all. You know, if he does go into the Hockey Hall of Fame someday, you know what jersey he's wearing, right?
Yeah.
The interesting part about this is that, you know, obviously, like you said, just can't get into Pekka's, mind on this one. Because I could definitely see, you know what? Got a baby here. Love Nashville. Love this team. We'll see out the season and, you know, on to the next phase. Or, wow, so this team, fill in the blank, we threw out teams earlier. We threw out Washington. We threw out Toronto. Has a chance to make a run, and I could be a part of that? I mean, to me, I'd be intrigued by that if I were him. But I'm not him. I mean, you know, neither of us are world-class goalies.
Safe
slash humans slash grillers of fish.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't totally get inside his brain. And it's not like, I mean, I fully expect Vingan to ask this question of him next time he has a chance, but it's not like Rene's going to sit there and tell us,
right?
Yeah, I'd like to go somewhere.
Right.
I would think if it came up, he would, though. And I'd love to see it happen. I really would.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, I've seen a lot of fans saying that about Pekka, but I don't really think he would want to leave. He may not. Like, he may want to finish out his career with the Predators and just be in one spot the whole time. That absolutely could be on the table. I think it's at least likely that he's probably thinking that way. But if I'm Pekka Rinne, I do think the opportunity that could be in front of you, probably not as a starter. Like, I'm not saying that Pekka Rinne is going somewhere and he's going to be the guy in a run. I don't really see a scenario.
But he could become the guy.
I mean, he could.
Which happens in the playoffs a lot.
Sure. And that absolutely could be on the table. But as it stands right now, like, I don't really see a place where he could be like the bell cow guy that just drives you to the Stanley Cup as a starting goaltender. maybe it ends up happening that way with injuries or play in front of him or whatnot. But I just don't see that exact scenario right now. And, you know, to the point of maybe wanting to stay here, there is something to be said about starting your career, especially a career as long and as distinguished as Pekka has had, starting your career with one team and finishing it with one team. That just doesn't happen in today's sports for the most part. So I think the Predators would love to have a guy like that, to have a guy that's a homegrown superstar that comes in, stays the entire time, and is the most important player in the history of your franchise. Like, I think in a perfect scenario, that's what you want. I wonder how important that is to Pekka moving forward.
Yeah, and maybe it is. I just, you know, to me, it's like, what are you really changing if you make a move like this, if you get moved like this? What does that really change about any of the stuff that happened in your career prior to this, or how you will be celebrated after? I don't think you're changing anything. But,
no.
To your point on, I mean, I'll think back to, how many years are we talking? 24 years. You know, Chris Osgood was the Red Wings goalie, but then in the playoffs they went Mike Vernon.
Yeah.
Mike Vernon won him a ring, you know, the old guy. And sometimes, and we've seen plenty of switches. I mean, certainly in Washington we've seen changes. In Pittsburgh we've seen changes. There's another team that Porth brought up, you know. What about Pittsburgh with Pecorine? Now,
yeah,
that might be something where Predators fans kind of grit their teeth,
yeah,
right? Not loving that sight, maybe, but
he's not going to the Ducks. I can promise you that.
Yeah, the people. Yeah, whoever texted earlier about the Ducks. I mean, yeah, you're not going to the Ducks to also rebuild.
Yeah. Probably he's not getting up there, and like, there's no way the Predators are trading him to like St. Louis or anything like that.
They're not in their division anymore.
They're not. That is true.
For this year.
I don't think that would go over very well with Predators fans at that point. But I mean, we brought up the example. Crispy brought it up too of Ray Bourque. You spend your whole career in Boston, end up with the mighty Colorado Avalanche, win the Cup in 2001. One of the great moments in the history of the NHL was Joe Sakic handing that cup off to Ray Bourque and him being able to skate it around.
Yeah,
Gary Thorne on the call.
Let's not overstate things.
It was one of the great moments in the history of the league.
I felt good for him.
I'm sure
if no one else.
Joe is sick right now.
Patrick Waugh,
yeah,
skating around as well.
It was a year later that Patty Roy walked into Joe Louis Arena for a Game 7.
Yes.
Walked out having given up a touchdown.
That's true.
Sorry, Patty Roy.
The early memories of the Colorado-Detroit rivalry. One of the great rivalries in sports in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, probably the most hated team of my life. I'll put the 80s Celtics and then the 90s Avs. It's very close. I'm going to go 1-2 Celtics, then Avs. Most hated teams of my lifetime.
Let's go back to the text
line.
Not
the Bulls, because they were just 1-3 against the Pistons, so they were merely a speed bump on the way to
didn't
championships.
Didn't have a chance to hate them all that much.
Speed bump or a stop sign? Because it wasn't like they were. They went back afterward.
Well, the Pistons got old, like all teams do. That's true.
Yeah.
So their era ended.
More of a stop sign than a speed bump.
He's just going to remind
you. No, Michael Jordan was 1-3 against the Pistons. I don't think that's a stop sign. Is that a stop sign? I don't think it is.
He's just saying the last time that you ran into the sign, there was no coming back from it.
Yeah. Jordan, they would have, the fact that they were even in the Eastern Conference Finals at that point was kind of amazing. So, whatever.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, Pekka is such a great guy. I've got faith that the pick that we get by trading him will turn into someone on the Crosby level. So, because Pekka is such a great guy, if you could trade him, get a pick out of it, that person will turn into Crosby.
And you rip me for Clowny, Heidi. So we're talking about like karma picks, karma trades?
Yeah, maybe.
Like you will because of
the essence
what a good
that
human
is,
you are,
Pekka is, turns into a great pick.
It sounds like Stillman on Tom Brady. Kevin, he would have made Kevin Byer play better. Their blitz schemes would have been way better if Brady was the quarterback.
Hey, who knows? Maybe she's right.
Maybe. Food Fighters.
Maybe Food Fighters will play as well.
Heidi's got a call at some point.
Well, we'll see if we can get that worked out.
She won't do it.
Well, we've got to just keep trying, keep persisting here on the show. One day, we will get Heidi from Dixon to join us here on the show via the phone, and I look forward to that day. When we come back, speaking of things I look forward to, Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us. We'll get into some Tennessee basketball with him, a big game this afternoon against Florida. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.